Looking for a car, new or used? This is Jay Black to tell you there's no better destination than our friends at the Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, located on Route 202 and 31 in Flemington and at Flemington.com. Here you will find 16 automotive brands, plus over 500 available certified pre-owned vehicles to fit every budget. You'll get the financing, the trade-in value, and the credit you need, and dependable vehicle service maintenance that delivers peace of mind. Choose from Ford, Lincoln, Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Infiniti, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, BMW, and Subaru. Shop them all, knowing every Flemington Car and Truck Country location has earned the coveted dealer-rated customer satisfaction award for 2017 based on your reviews. The Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, an honest, straightforward organization that has been satisfying customers for over 40 years. Family, independent, not corporate. Visit any of their 8 dealership locations on routes 202 and 31 in Flemington or at Flemington.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Speaking Millennial. It is our podcast. I'm Bill Spadia, at Bill Spadia on Twitter and Instagram. I'm here with my co-hosts, Jessica Nutt, who is at Chasing Jess Nutt on Twitter, and Jay Black, and his Twitter handle doesn't matter. He doesn't check it, but trust me, if he did, he's relatively funny.
So I'm actually in Reno right now, so I'm starting a Twitter account called Everything Is Sad in Twitter. So maybe, or excuse me, Everything Sad in Reno. So come find me on Twitter on that account because, Bill, everything is sad in Reno.
Everything is sad in Reno. I want to ask you, though, as I heard you, I'm realizing we're recording this. Now, all of us have a crazy schedule, and Jessica's schedule probably the craziest now, but your schedule, Jay, what is it? What time is it now? Is it 7? It's 3 hours.
It's 7 a.m. here. But
so for the most, like, to me, that's lunchtime. You sound like it's 2 in the morning.
Is Jay in bed?
I think he is.
I have, first off, I've had a cold that I haven't been able to shake for the last 10 days. Any human being who tells you that like the desert air is good for your lungs is a liar. But I'm awake because in Reno, the water supply, there's so much meth being done in Reno. I think the water supply just naturally wakes you up.
Do you hear how congested he sounds?
Yeah, poor Jay.
Like I feel like you need to come back. You need to have like, well, the best cold remedy. Actually, you could get that here.
We need to figure out how to get together and watch Rick and Morty.
Oh, yeah. We have to talk about that, Jay. So we figured out there's no way to actually do a Rick and Morty thing because of the licensing.
Well, you see, but here's the thing, what we do. We don't actually play the Rick and Morty episode. If we just talk about the Rick and Morty episode, like we don't have the audio from it, that's A-OK.
So Jessica on the air this morning recommended we do this like a book club. So we all have homework. You don't need to do homework. Clearly I do. So I'm going to have to go find it. And then once I do, we'll report back.
Bill, like the virgin nerd I was in high school, this isn't homework. This is just joy for me. I will watch any episode multiple times to talk about it with you.
All right, I'm in. Jessica, you have to promise that you don't fall asleep through the first episode. And actually watch it through so we can talk about it.
I'll figure it out.
All right. Should it be the first episode? Do you have an episode you recommend, Jay?
I mean, if you guys want to talk about like best episodes, I would say episode 9 of the first season would be a good introduction.
Such a nerd.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Wow. Is there a millennial word for nerd?
Geek.
Geek? Is that still said? I feel like that's like you get in trouble if you say that.
You know what I like? Well, only around circus performers. What I like is how Jessica and I immediately reverted to high school roles. I became the nerd telling you what episode to watch, and Jessica became the blonde girl yelling at what a nerd I was. I like that.
That was
nice.
That did happen. I watched that happen right before my eyes.
Sorry.
All right. So, Jay.
I got to get my shit together.
Yes. Oh, and there we go. 3 minutes and 15 seconds in. Jay, so you had a special guest. You are performing in Vegas. And now are you both in Reno?
No. Steve has a good agent, so he's not in Reno.
Got it. So Steve Hofstetter joined you. You guys were co-headlining, right, for 7 days.
So Steve and I go back a long way. We're best comedy buddies. So when you both headline, you never hang out with each other. So what we decided to do was every 6 months we take turns being each other's opening act, which kind of sounds like something that, like, you know, two gay comedians would do. But I'm not talking about.
It's funny you say that, because I was going to say you guys make a great couple. Like you are you're both opposites. Like, he's got that edge to him, and you don't. You're not edgy. You're friendly. There's a difference.
Yeah. Yes, I'm like your uncle that gets by on the fact that he's very friendly and doesn't actually have a job or any viable means of income, so he just sort of lives off of the goodwill of your other uncles and aunts. Whereas Steve is the uncle that went to MIT and everybody's a little afraid of making angry.
So you recorded this driving in the car to one of the events. So what'd you guys talk about?
So Steve and I were both in Vegas for the week, and Steve had been tweeting about his positions on, you know, gun control and the NFL kneeling, which I think are slightly different than your
position. I'm going to guess Steve and I don't have the – I should – you know, I have to go – I'm going to have to go troll his Twitter account and go take some shots.
I thought that's what you were doing earlier.
I thought about it.
How many Twitter followers does he
have? He has like 150,000 followers.
Yeah, Steve has about 150.
You know what? I'll do that. I'll engage him because, see, now, is Steve a retweeter? I'm not a hater. I do attack because, you know, I think people say really ridiculous things on Twitter. So I do come at it.
Steve
and I love to link
no
things.
No retweets.
He doesn't retweet?
Mm-mm.
Steve never retweets? What the heck?
I don't know. I don't wade into the cesspool that is Twitter.
You do not.
Apparently you have opinions on it, though.
Yeah. How about that, Jay? We're listening. So Jessica and I listened to it before we started. I'm like, who is Jay to have all these opinions about Twitter? I was actually mad.
Number one, my college roommate was spent several years in charge of all video on Twitter. So I used to text him all the time with my ideas until he finally said, you know, either shut up or come work at Twitter. So I just got off of Twitter in a fit of pique. What happened was Steve had tweeted out these ideas and his tweets on gun control in the NFL, and it was interesting to
see. We call them propaganda, but go ahead.
It was interesting to watch someone with that many followers, like what would happen when one of his tweets went viral.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. He got, you know, several thousand retweets. He got, you know, hundreds of replies. And, you know, watching him react to it, it isn't what you'd expect a celebrity, an internet celebrity especially, to react. How he reacted was interesting to me, because I think people tend to think of celebrities, especially ones that tweet out, you know, stances that are somewhat controversial, to just sort of be happy about any controversy they generate. And I think it was very interesting to see, you know, his opinions on this, because I think we forget that the people we're tweeting at are actual people, and Steve does a very good job of humanizing the experience. So
right, we should probably listen to that conversation.
Yes.
So did he record reaction videos of himself crying and reading his Twitter?
No, Steve doesn't cry about that sort of stuff. He
wept silently. He cried on the inside.
He internalized the cry.
That's right. He buried those emotions deep. Just push them down. Don't let them out.
And you know what? I'm jealous of Steve, because I've never had an emotion that I didn't let out immediately.
Jay, I can tell you, yes, you wear them on your sleeve. You announce them constantly. You're like an ongoing parade of your emotions.
I wear them on my sleeve with the same style as Liberace. I mean, that's how much the emotions come out. The sequined
again the reference. See? All right, we should probably hear it though. So,
let's go for it.
Yep.
All right, everybody. This is the Speaking Millennial interview section. I'm Jay Black, which I'm sure I'll introduce myself a couple of times over the course of the opening to this with Bill and Jessica. But I'm here with internet celebrity Steve Hofstetter. Would that be the best way to describe you, Steve?
There's so much to live up to. I think the best way to describe me is tall, gangly redhead.
Well, I didn't want to be insulting, even though that's an accurate description of you. It feels like just giving that accurate description would be insulting. We are driving to the gym together. We worked at the Laugh Factory in Las Vegas for the last 7 days, and Steve and I have gotten into physical fitness, and I think it's fair to say after the 7 days, we are perfectly ripped. Is that an accurate description?
Yeah, now we're just going to go to the gym to teach other people how to do it.
Oh, yeah. We've got 7 days worth of experience, and I want to go up and very condescendingly tell people who are in much better shape than me, ooh, that form's a little off.
Yeah, it's actually, I have 6 days of experience. I skipped a day already. But still, I still think I've mastered it.
Yeah, you didn't need that seventh day. I mean, you're like God. You did everything you needed in 6 days, then just took a break. So we're doing it in the car because we are, I guess, getting kicked out of our hotel at 11. Is that?
Yeah. Although I got a noon checkout, so we're good. By the way, the only way I'm like God is that I have no discernible physical form.
And also, you don't seem to care for the people that you've created either. So
that's also true.
You're just up there looking down going, hey, you're on your own. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, this is Speaking Millennial, but instead of speaking directly about millennials, I would like to talk a little bit about internet fame. And right before we started this podcast in the car, you were talking about some of the posts that you've had on Facebook this week. And, there has been a tragedy in Las Vegas. This is going to post in about 10 days. But I don't think it's going to be out of the news by then. People are going to remember. We've just performed in Vegas, and I think that was on your mind a little bit. And you made a couple of posts, and I just want to hear about what it's like when somebody has 150,000 Twitter followers and hundreds of thousands of followers on the other various platforms. When you make a post about something like that, what is the reaction from people?
Well, the toughest part is not my followers, because for the most part, I've weeded out the assholes, because I'm pretty much, I'm going to go in the direction I'm going to go in regardless of what you think about me. But sometimes those followers might retweet something and then their followers are crazy people. So Kurt Eichenwald, who is wonderfully nice to me and a great journalist.
Where does he work, Kurt Eichenwald? Can you, just for the people at home who don't know him?
I think he's Newsweek. I feel bad now that I don't know.
We'll edit that out. It's probably Newsweek.
Yeah. So, Kurt's been to a show of mine, and he retweets my stuff a lot. And he retweeted a post I made, and it was a joke. Now, it was a joke based on truth, but it was a joke. Where I said, the crux of it is pretty much, people who feel they need guns to defend themselves from the government, so they want to kill Americans. It doesn't sound very patriotic to me.
Gotcha. So this was a joke that sort of outlined your opinions on gun control to your followers, who all basically probably have the same point of view as you do.
Or are cool enough to understand that, like, I don't mind that this human being disagrees with me.
Right.
I don't need to freak out about it.
Gotcha.
Just because a person has a different opinion from me. And so Kurt retweeted it, which I very much appreciated. But he's a journalist, so he's followed by some of the Federalist folks.
The Federalist, these are not the people who wrote the Federalist Papers.
But
which
they
would
think
be...
they are.
So Alexander Hamilton's great-great-great-great-grandson is part of this group.
Really, it's someone who doesn't have their own identity. And so they've decided that being a Federalist is their identity.
Gotcha. So they follow Kurt. They got a hold of this. And what happened?
Hoo boy. It was not even the most retweeted thing I've ever written. It was, got probably 400 retweets, 1,100 likes. I mean, that's real good traction. But it had hundreds of replies.
Gotcha. And I know that Twitter does a impressions measure, I think.
Yeah.
That's how many people read it. Do you have offhand how many people came across it, probably?
About 100,000.
Gotcha. That's a huge number. About 100,000 people read that tweet, and it got hundreds of replies. And I'm guessing all of them well thought out. Very, if there was a rebuttal, it was not ad hominem attacks on you. It was mostly just ideology, but respectful ideology. Did I get that correct?
Yeah, you absolutely nailed it, except for the words that you said. But it's fascinating to me that, first of all, it's fascinating to me that so many people in this country think that they're Rambo, because so many of the replies were just like, I need my gun for when the government tries to take over. And be like, really? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to stop those stealth bombers, buddy? You going to shoot at the tanks?
Well, that's
adorable.
That's why they need suppressors, so they can fire at tanks.
Right. The craziest part of this whole thing is, I am pro-Second Amendment. I have said many, many times publicly, even on this thread, that I don't think they should, quote-unquote, take the guns away.
Right.
I just think that we need to get a little bit more responsible about how they're handled. And that, so I am an ally.
Right.
Unless you're a crazy person that just thinks, unlimited guns for all.
Right, right. Well, but that's what I want to talk about. Not necessarily the actual content of this tweet in particular.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been hanging out with you all week, and I was there when this thing went viral. And you've had a couple of other things that, you know, it's interesting because I think most people who tweet at celebrities, yeah, you know, and I'm putting you in the celebrity category here, aww, that, well, I mean, they don't know. I think they just picture you as a faceless person who wants to court controversy and doesn't get affected by it at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's something where I can't tell you how many times, even the nice messages, like someone will tweet something nice to me and they'll tweet like a question and I'll reply. And they'll, oh my God, I didn't think that you would ever reply. And it's right, like, well, then why did you write this?
Right. Yeah, but yeah, so it's like, you know, you're affected positively by good messages and negatively by bad messages. And on that level, when you're getting 100,000 impressions and you're getting hundreds and hundreds of replies, I got to imagine, because I got off of Twitter in part because even when I posted something to my meager following and I got 5 or 6 negative replies, it would drive me insane. I would be sitting there trying to explain to people in 140 characters why they totally misunderstood everything I just wrote. And I had to get off the Ferris wheel or merry-go-round, something, yeah, that spins in a circle. But I had to get off that, metaphorically, because it was driving me nuts. How do you handle it? How do you keep yourself in perspective and not just lose your mind when people start misunderstanding what you're trying to say?
I try to... First of all, I love the mute feature on Twitter. This is something that every piece of social media should have. It's a way to block someone without them knowing that they're blocked. Because when you block someone and they know, if they're the type of person that I would block, then they're the type of person that would also make another account to try to get around it.
Right.
That would make their meager life about torturing me.
Right. And they would crow. They would take that as a win. Steve blocked me, so I got to him.
Absolutely. And so the mute is fantastic because then they're just shouting into the wind.
Right.
And it's, oh, that's so much fun to know also that because, you know, and then they could also, like, because you could still look at someone you muted if you want to. And so sometimes I'll see my fans replying to them a whole bunch. So I'm like, what the hell's been going on that I haven't even noticed? And I'll see them freaking out. Why aren't you replying to me? And that makes me laugh so much.
Do they ever come to the understanding like, oh, I think I may have been muted? Or is it just, you know, they're so narcissistic, they just assume that you're not replying because of them. You're reading it but not replying it. I mean, do they ever figure out like, oh, I guess I've been muted, I'll go away now?
I've never seen anybody say it.
Really?
Really. Really? Not one time. And I have thousands of people on mute.
Wow.
Well, every time someone, and I'll tell you this, even if someone probably means well, but they write something that's really fucking annoying or just a stupid joke.
Right.
Like, sometimes I'll just be like, eh, I don't need to hear from you anymore. And then I'll mute them then, too. So I feel like, and I had this happen this week where someone wrote me something really nasty, and then I made fun of it publicly.
Wait, so is this the one where you did the 4 responses?
Yes.
Okay, so they wrote you a private message, right? So they DM'd you.
Well, they DM'd me, but they also commented on a couple things that I wrote. And they DM'd me calling me stupid and telling me to leave America And, you know, all the kind of thing that you'd really get from a tolerant person.
Right. And very original stuff, too. I mean, not something that you would hear, you know, on the third hour of the Rush Limbaugh show.
Hey, I'm just impressed that it wasn't in a meme. So I decided it would be funny because I had a couple of different ideas of how to respond.
Right.
So I decided it would be funny to let my fans in on that process and to write out four different responses and kind of let them choose.
Right.
Which was fun. They had a good time voting on it, too.
Just out of curiosity, which one won?
The one that won was, because this was about someone upset that I was supporting the, you know, the take a knee protests. And the one that won was, I'm sorry that the peaceful protests have gotten in your way of the one time you've ever rooted for black people.
Oh, wow. I remember you writing that one. I thought it was very funny. And yeah. It's good to see. Was that a runaway winner?
Runaway winner. That was the one that people were going, oh, damn. And then posting little GIFs about and stuff. So he then tried to be self-righteous at me about, like, well, how dare you, you know, oh, real classy to, you know, put that response out there. And I'm like, you insulted a stranger.
Right.
And you're upset that the stranger shared it? That's sure. That's what upset you? And the people who, like, get upset about blocking and, you know, and possibly muting, I mean, I don't know if they do or not, but it's completely within our right to do that. I do not have, and people, well, what about different opinions? It's like, this isn't a different opinion. This is harassment.
Right.
And I don't need to listen to that. I'm not putting myself in an echo chamber. There are plenty of people on my page who don't agree with me, and they're civil about it.
Right.
They're not dicks.
So, okay, let me ask you this, because this is something that you'll hear a lot from people about celebrities, which is, well, you chose to put yourself in the public forum, so you also, therefore, chose to put yourself in the way of harassment, in the way of beratement. I don't agree with that thought, but I'd like to get your opinion on that. Like, you know, you are someone who has courted, you know, followers on social media. Does that mean you've also courted the harassment? Like, how do you respond to people who say, like, well, you're a celebrity, just take it?
That is such disgusting behavior. That is the idea that, I mean, that's the same logic as, like, well, she wore a skirt, so she should be raped.
Well, probably a lot of those guys have those opinions.
Oh, it is the same people.
Right.
The idea that, like, okay, look, I have put myself in the public eye, and therefore I am publicly accountable for my actions. That is absolutely true. I've put myself in the public eye, and therefore I am accessible. That is absolutely true.
Right.
But the idea of, well, you put yourself in the public eye, and therefore you deserve to be treated like utter garbage. No! That's not how it works.
Right.
Well, you know, you did walk into this room, so therefore, you were expecting me to hit you. No. No, I was not.
Right.
I just went into the room.
So there's, you know, we could say celebrities are, you know, courting people to look at them and to engage with them, but they're still human beings. Is that fair enough?
Yes. You have every right to voice your opinion about me publicly, because what I have done is in the public,
right.
And that's perfectly fine. What you don't have the right to be is not a civil human being.
Gotcha.
And one thing I was thinking about is, I wonder how different the internet would be if we all treated everyone else as if we either wanted to have them hire us or get laid.
Or sometimes both.
Yeah, absolutely. Hire us and fuck us.
That's if you work for the Weinstein Corporation, I believe. I believe that's how that works.
Damn, son. Just to give people the benefit of the doubt, treat them a little bit nicer. And, you know, I've definitely snapped back on people. But for the most part, even when people are disagreeing with me in a shitty way, I like to not be shitty. Because that makes them look even shittier.
Right.
Which is
right,
kind of fun. Right.
Yeah, did you see Jeremy Lin's response on social media?
Yes.
To who was it who said
Kenyon Martin.
Kenyon Martin. It was like the nicest burn ever, right?
Oh, you know? It was phenomenal. So for those who haven't seen this, Kenyon Martin criticized Jeremy Lin's dreadlocks, saying that it was cultural appropriation. And so Jeremy Lin wrote like a really nice message to Kenyon about how, hey, you know, I had your posters growing up and I really respect you and, you know, thank you for your opinion. But he also mentioned that Kenyon Martin had Chinese tattoos. But it wasn't in like a, because he could have been like, yeah, you have Chinese tattoos, so you should shut your mouth. Instead, he was like, hey, man, I love you so much. And I love that you respect Chinese culture by having Chinese tattoos, right, which was really enough for that quit your bullshit moment,
right,
with him still being a sweetheart. I loved it.
Yeah, and I think it stood out. I think that's the thing. It stood out because it was so nice. It wasn't a flame war between two basketball players who were being mean to one another. It was one tried to be mean, and the other's reply was so polite that everybody stopped and took notice, because that doesn't really happen online.
Well, it was both polite and also a really good bird.
Right, right. Well, okay, we're almost at the gym, and I told you that we would just do this in the car, and I don't want to sit in the parking lot talking to you, because then people would start to, you know, figure that we're about to make out, because the sexual tension is really high between us. I would want to ask this. You know, okay, you spend a lot of time on social media. You, you're a guy that is a thinker about all the things that you're involved in. What if you were in charge of Twitter, if you were in charge of Instagram or YouTube or any of these places, what's one change that you would put in that you think that would fix a lot of this harassment problem? Because, you know, when you hear about people talking about Twitter, it seems like Jack Dempsey is like obsessed with the number of characters of the tweets and not necessarily the harassment problem, which is the thing that everyone talks about. No one's like, well, 280 tweets, that would create less harassment. They all want the harassment problem fixed. Nobody cares about the character count. What would be your fix for all these issues?
Well, I actually think the character count is the fix, because what you don't realize is that in the extra 140 characters at all times, people would use those to apologize. But I mean, I like your idea that we've talked about, you know, where we're people, there are different levels of verification. But also, I've thought about this a lot, and this is something that I talked to Dane Cook about, because I was on a show with him, and I figured if anyone understands online harassment, it's Dane.
Yeah. If I could just take a moment, I just want to say this.
Yeah.
I always thought the backlash against him, I understood it because he was a cultural phenomenon. I didn't think he was ever a bad comic. I always thought he was a very strong comic, and it annoyed me that there was such a backlash. I just wanted to get that out there, because he took too much backlash.
Yeah, and, you know, he's had his moments where he's treated people poorly,
mm-hmm,
and I think those people then get out there and be like, well, now he's terrible and everything, and it's like, well, you're kind of being bad, too, in this moment. But anyway, the point is that, like, I've had a lot of horrible shit said about me, but I was like, it's probably a thousandth of what Dane's had.
Right.
So I just asked him one day, I was like, how do you deal with it? We talked about it a little bit, and one of the things he said that really stuck out to me was, he said, none of this will go away until we're forced to actually be ourselves online. In person, we have to stand with our face and our name.
Right.
And online, we don't. And so, now look, on Facebook, we have to be us, and there are still people who are horrible, but it's not nearly as bad, because you can't create 10 different accounts and pretend. I mean, I guess you can still kind of pretend to be somebody.
Well, I mean, if you're a Russian troll farm, yeah. But other than that, no.
Well, the idea being that, like, if there's some sort of verification where everybody gets one account,
right,
and that is your account, and if you fuck it up, you don't get to use that account anymore.
Right.
That will, I mean, that could solve so much. Now, of course, it could hurt things where you need to be anonymous for democracy and things like that. You know, people always talk about Arab Spring as an example. But at the same time, like, we need to be us. And I think that that will make people much more civil, and it will make protests more powerful.
Right. Well, it makes you accountable for your words. And I think that, yeah, just, you know, it's to end this interview, and thank you so much for doing it. I think we were talking last night about our different approach to hecklers, and yeah, I really liked yours, which was when a heckler starts talking to you, your point of view is choose your words carefully. Right? Did I get that right? What's the quote?
It's I am going to turn your words against you.
Right.
So make sure you say what you mean.
So,
and I want to add one thing, by the way, to your point about, you know, people think that celebrities are these, you know, machines almost.
Right.
I dated a singer, and there was like a day where she's just kind of scrolling through YouTube, watching people who are covering her songs.
Right.
Like, just watching people sit there in their bedroom singing her songs.
Right.
And I was smiling so much because just the idea of, like, these people don't realize that, like, their favorite singer might just be watching them sing her songs.
Right. She's a human being that would be would enjoy that sort of thing just like anybody would.
Right. She's curious. And so when you have someone the level of, like, you know, a Madonna or a LeBron James or a Louis C.K., they're not going to see everything because there's just too much to see.
Sure.
But they're going to see some of it.
Right.
And so if you had the chance to speak to a celebrity in person, would you still say what you're saying?
Right.
Because if not, then you're a liar.
I love that. Thank you so much, Steve Hofstetter. Steve, where should we find you online?
Just, you know, look up Steve Hofstetter, and Google will correct you on the spelling. There are like a dozen other people named Steve Hofstetter, and they probably really get annoyed that they cannot be searched at all. And my YouTube is my biggest thing, so check it out. Or, you know, you can check me out on Twitter. I will reply to most ads that aren't obnoxious.
Very nice. And this is going to drop a week from Wednesday. Do you have anything that you want to plug specifically? Any shows, any live appearances that people can come catch at?
Absolutely. This weekend, I'm filming my comedy special in Indianapolis, Friday and Saturday at Morty's Comedy Joint. So if you're in Indianapolis or you know anyone in Indianapolis or you want to go and Tinder someone in Indianapolis and tell them to go, that would be awesome. We're gonna pack it out, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Thanks so much, Steve. Always a pleasure. And let's go get swole, bro.
Yes.
I'm happy to talk about one of our sponsors. Great sponsor, good friend, Vinny Brand, owns the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. The website is stressfactory.com. Vinny Brand runs one of the great comedy clubs, honestly, in the country. Not only does he have A-list comics coming in almost every single week, but the show is great. The food is fantastic. The staff, the service, there's parking right next door. If you've not discovered the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, you've got to get there. Go to stressfactory.com and buy your tickets. It's a great night out, reasonable cost, absolutely hilarious entertainment, great food and hospitality. Stressfactory.com.
I'm getting pointed at by Bill Spadia, so I'm confused here. Steve Califer, he's the guy who owns Flemington Car and Truck, and he also owns the Somerset Patriots, where you could see Bill Spadia throw out a first pitch, ceremonial first pitch. This is a place, if you are looking for a car or a truck of any sort, you'd be a dummy not to go to Flemington Car and Truck. And you want to know how big a deal this guy is? His website is just Flemington.com. That the entire state of New Jersey.
That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal. Flemington.com is where you want to go to check out all the great prices on Jeeps, on Cadillacs, on I think that the only two thoughts I had were Jeep and Cadillac.
But there's so many different cars.
There's Audi, there's Buicks, there's GMC, BMWs, there's Fords. This is the car, when you're driving along and you see Bill Spadia driving in a red Jeep and you go, oh, is Bill going through a midlife crisis? You know where he got that midlife crisis car at? Flemington Car and Truck. That's where he got it. So go check that out, Flemington.com. And if you're in the Flemington area, you got to go check out Flemington Car and Truck because Steve Califer, friend of the podcast, friend to humanity, friend to the person buying a car, Flemington Car and Truck.
I do just want to add a congratulations to the Somerset Patriots for making it all the way to the league, not to the championship, but they got to the playoffs.
Nice.
And I threw out a couple first pitches. It's going to be a great season next year.
How'd it go?
I was going to avoid that. Let's put it this way. Sparky Lyle, the Yankee great, who was the first relief pitcher to win a Cy Young, he said, well, look at the right side. If it was 0-2, I would have told you to throw it that low because he would have swung at it. So I got a swinging third strike. It was my worst first pitch that I have ever thrown.
If Gary Delabate's a 0 and George Bush after 9/11 is a 10, you are...
That particular pitch was a 5.
That's not too bad.
Well, it got over the plate, but I hit the dirt. I don't think I've ever hit the dirt.
I can guarantee you I would have hit someone off the first base line if I was throwing the opening pitch.
It was bad. But the Somerset Patriots are great. The TD Bank Ballpark, great.
And we just gave Steve Califer a 9-minute plug. So there you go, Steve.
We love Steve.
Thanks for being our sponsor, guy. Thank you.
I actually find it helpful, people at the gym, who correct your posture. That's what personal trainers are for.
So see that? I had...
You know what, Jessica? As a girl, you get much different correcting than a dude does.
I don't take it as condescending.
Now, what do you mean different correcting? Like hands-on correcting? Hold on, let me show you exactly how to position your back on this.
Yeah, like keep your back straight, your knees.
Jessica has like, you know, a nice-looking fit dude with a man bun coming over to tell her the exact way to do it with a smile, where Steve and I just get like a condescending glare, like, listen, you don't have the glutes to be able to do this properly. Get out of here, dude.
You're right. Why are you even here?
Yeah.
See, this was the advantage.
It's when you're a not attractive dude than when you're an attractive woman.
Do people talk to you in the gym?
No, not totally.
Yeah.
But trainers do.
Yeah.
The personal trainers will.
If you're paying for it? Or,
yeah.
Right, like if you hire one.
Yeah.
I've never done that. Do you do that?
Yeah, you should do it. It's great.
Really?
Yeah.
Keeps Jay, have you done that?
Otherwise, you just sit there scrolling on your cell phone reading Twitter.
No, I don't. I don't.
No, that's what I do.
Much I like when we know the podcast has lost interest. Jessica's lost interest when all of a sudden she's scrolling Instagram.
I am aggressively right now trying to figure out where to watch Rick and Morty, other than just ask Jay to borrow his DVD.
Jay, you're in Reno, and we're here in the studio, as you know.
Yes.
I said that out loud so the audience understood the context here. So about 5 minutes ago, Jessica pulled out her iPad.
I've been scrolling for 5 minutes.
And is actually multitasking, like having a conversation, looking at the time of the podcast, and scrolling, trying to find where to watch
it's
these episodes.
It's not on Netflix. I don't know if it's on
Hulu. Is it on Hulu?
You know what, Jessica? Go to Can I Stream It? Or like just Google Can I Stream It or Can You Stream It? There's a site that'll tell you where the streaming sources are.
We want to only direct our audience to legal sites.
Yeah, no, this is not a site that tells you how to pirate stuff. It just tells you where it's available legally.
So Can I Stream It?
Mm-hmm.
That it's like canistreamit.com?
Yep.
Kind of fascinated by that. That's pretty good. I may be doing the same thing. All right, so that's for Rick and Morty.
Wait, real fast, you want to hear my joke about Reno that I always open with?
Yeah.
Which is, it's a shame that they make you do Reno right after doing Las Vegas. Because it's kind of like, you know, being in Las Vegas is kind of like having sex with 1993 Pamela Anderson, where Reno is kind of like having sex with Pamela Anderson now.
Oof.
Everything is just darker and sadder. And
why is that? I have only been to Reno once, and I think it's because I flew into Reno to drive to Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I didn't stay.
That's what it is. It's a town that's built on... Hey, if you're on the way to somewhere nice, maybe do some gambling while you're here.
Is it that bad?
Is that why it's a big... No, I only know about it from the TV show. Reno 911.
Reno 911, yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't even know about that. Is that a thing?
And from like the 90s.
So it's like a cops show, mm-hmm. like a cops reality show. Is the crime is not good? I don't know anything about Reno. I literally have been to the air. We used to go to Lake Tahoe, which I love. That's a great place. If you've never been there, great place. But you fly to Reno. And then it's, I don't know if it's an hour, hour and a half, whatever the drive is. But that's my only experience in Reno. And my impression was there was nothing at the airport. Like the bar wasn't open.
People get so excited over the Vegas airport when you step out and see the casinos
right
in the terminal.
I don't remember that
in Reno,
though.
I'll tell you how, first off, two things. How sad is the Reno airport? When you step into the main concourse, there is a big poster of me. That's the first thing that you see when you walk off the main concourse to come see me at the Laugh Factory. I'm the biggest thing happening in town other than Paul Anka. So not a lot's happening in Reno. And the second thing I'll tell you is Steve had a very good joke about it, which is there's Vegas and then there's Atlantic City, which is sad Vegas, and then there's Reno, which is sad Atlantic City.
Is it that bad? Because you are right. Atlantic City is absolutely sad Vegas. Walking into the casinos. I mean, they've done a lot of things. Some of the restaurants have gotten very good. The problem is that you've got these areas that you're like, okay, I wouldn't park my car there. They just haven't solved it yet.
Reno is a lot like a science fiction movie where they built these casinos where inside the casino is really nice, But outside the casino, is society has broken down, and it's everyone's fighting for themselves in a sort of Mad Max style future.
Is it nice though when you drive down the street?
Sponsored by the Reno Tourism Board. Reno, yeah. For when you have nowhere else to go.
Reno for when you have nowhere else to go. I love it. Did you fly? Are you flying back from Reno?
So I'm flying back from Reno. I actually drove from Vegas to Reno. Bill, get this. I rented a Camaro SS, which, by the way,
wow.
That name for a car. I don't think SS should ever be put together in anything.
I was going to say. Right? You'd think that would be
Camaro
out?
SS because it was the same price as the Chevy Impala that I had originally rented.
Were you flashing back to high school?
Oh, yeah. I felt very much like I was
right?
One orange tan away from being a guy who wore a chain outside of his white T-shirt.
I feel like you need a mullet
what?
To be able to drive that. Hmm. Yeah. No?
Or you need to be like 18.
Well, I don't know. Now, see, I'm sensing from Jessica, maybe it's not as uncool as we think.
Well, I think it's very Jersey.
It's Jersey. It's totally Jersey. It is. Yeah.
And here's the problem. I'm like 6'3", 220-odd pounds. And that car was built for someone 5'10 or under. I do feel a little bit like, you know, it's a nice car, but I can hear the engine struggling a little bit when it wants to get up over 80 because of the fact that it's carrying my big fat body in it.
Does it have the T flaps, right? Like the sunroof? Does
it have... I think it's something that came out several years ago, Bill.
Oh, have I dated myself? But that's what I think of. I think friends in high school having Camaros.
Yeah, that's what I said. He has to be younger.
Younger and in Jersey.
Jay's midlife crisis.
I never had one.
Why?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I drove one.
I drove, my high school car was a Cadillac. Now, before you think that anybody spent any money on this, it was, my dad had bought it and it kind of broke down. It was parked in the back. Mm-hmm. And it was out of view, and it rusted over time. I mean, it was just gross.
Oh.
But it was huge. So he's like, that's your car. So I'm like,
Did you?
I took it.
Yeah?
I fixed it. I painted it. I mean, who knew? I had help.
What'd you paint it with?
I went to, I don't know, whatever. I went to it was awful. I mean, it looked terrible. It was like I used this gray putty because the doors started to rot out. So anyway, you can imagine what this thing looked like. The great thing about it was I had the biggest car of all my friends.
Oh, is that a good thing?
It was great. So we would all pile in. I mean, you could probably fit 8 or 9 people.
Yeah.
It was two door.
5 in the trunk.
Yes. It was a huge car. God, it was so ugly. I wonder what happened to it. I don't remember.
It was probably bought by an old person who then put a lot of Navy hats in the back window because that's what old people do for whatever reason.
You probably already had Marines hats all in the back window.
It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. What did you drive in high school? Jay?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, what did I have? I had a Chevy... I forget the name of it. It was... It's gonna come to me. It was a Chevy that like kind of had a little bit of sportiness to it, but not really. It was like if you've ever seen a car with a fake spoiler on it, you know, like that's actually built
yeah, that's it. It doesn't really need that, right?
Yeah, and anybody that knows anything about cars would look at it and go like, yeah, you don't really need the air pressure to keep the rear of your car down. I
exactly.
think you're going to be okay. Your 0 to 60 takes 8.5 minutes. I think you'll be fine.
What do you think Jessica drove in high school?
I imagine a VW Rabbit.
That's a good guess. That's not, yeah.
Yeah.
What did you drive?
A Saab convertible.
Really? I would have never guessed that.
It was old.
Did
My
you
parents
really?
Got it for me.
Same thing. They bought you the old car.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. I want a little bit of recognition for how close I was.
You think that's close?
Getting that correct.
I don't know. Is it close? Do they even make the Rabbit anymore?
Is the Rabbit a convertible?
Yeah, Rabbit convertible. Look up on your iPad, Jessica, right there.
Jessica just closed her iPad because she gave up. She literally just closed it, having given up on the whole, I want to say Ren and Stimpy, but what is it?
Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty.
I just want to say, I got a Nordic type country, a Teutonic country convertible car. I want some credit on that for how closely I pegged her.
All right, we'll give it to you. We'll give it to you.
It's pretty close.
That's like a. I give you a B minus on that.
Although I feel like it was more
minus.
Like...
So if I were a fake psychic, you would have just given me $25,000 to make stock tips for you.
So wait, what were you looking up?
Oh, I was trying to find Rick and Morty. I can't tell if it's on Xfinity On Demand or not. The old episodes?
It might be.
I would be pretty surprised if it wasn't. It's like I said last week, it's the most popular show among millennials. So I don't know if you guys saw this week, there were near riots at McDonald's because of Rick and Morty. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I did see that. It was over the Szechuan sauce that they had. Now, what does the cartoon have to do with the sauce?
So, and then what does it have to do with Rick and Morty fans not understanding the whole purpose of Rick and Morty for the fact that they couldn't get the sauce?
So what happened was, in the first episode of this season, they use a machine to make Rick go back in his mind, in his memories, because they're trying to extract information from him. But because Rick is so smart, he actually just uses the machine to reconstruct him going to McDonald's in 1998 to get the special Mulan-style Szechuan sauce for his chicken nuggets, because it was the best sauce they ever made, according to Rick, and they discontinued it. So he just was using the torture device to extract his memories to just eat Szechuan sauce at McDonald's. And that made Rick and Morty fans very curious as to how this Szechuan sauce tasted. And apparently, without contacting the Rick and Morty people, because according to Dan Harmon, the creator of Rick and Morty, along with Justin Roiland, it was a tie-in that wasn't really a tie-in because they did not cross-promote with Rick and Morty. They just brought it back.
They just brought it back.
They brought it back. Well, check this out. They brought 20 little containers per store.
I told you that earlier, right?
Boxes.
What containers? Right. There was a near riot in Florida because literally hundreds of people were lined up. Were camped out.
Have you seen how fat nerds are? That they would eat 20 cases by themselves. You need to have far more than that.
Wait, so this was a sauce they actually sold at some point at McDonald's?
Yes. Yeah, when?
In 1998, when the movie Mulan, the Disney movie Mulan, had Szechuan sauce as a tie-in for the movie Mulan.
Do you know, for the first time in probably 15 years, I'm now thinking I want McDonald's?
Really?
Do you think it's because I'm juicy?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That's totally salt. What it is. Oh my God, that's what it is. I'm doing another juice cleanse. I don't know, Jay. I get myself into these things.
McDonald's chicken nuggets.
So now I'm really thinking about the salty.
The fries.
And I want to dip in the Szechuan sauce. That's what I want to do.
And you know what, Bill? Really, whenever they show you those,
I'm not gonna make it.
Man holding.
They do those factory farm videos where it's like, hey, look at this pink goo. That's what turns into the chicken nugget. I watch it and I go, kind of hungry right now. I never get grossed out by it.
We're going to screenshot this and Jessica's going to send it to you. This is the dude looking. Is that Morty? Which one is that? Who's the gray haired guy? Morty?
That's Rick.
Oh. Wait, Rick is the scientist?
Rick is the scientist. Scientist Rick Sanchez.
All right. So there's a guy, what is he, posing like him? And he's got four packs to himself.
Yeah.
Whoa, like he's hoarding it.
He looks so happy.
You'd think they would have limited it. Wouldn't the first person just come in and buy all 20? Well, I guess they didn't know.
You think. You know what I call that guy? I call that guy the richest man in Nerdville.
There you go.
I'm craving chicken McNuggets now. It's possible that's going to be the first thing I eat when this thing is done.
Oh,
I bought
so
3 days.
Good.
I'm doing 3 days. I'm doing another reset, Jay. It's like a metabolism reset. I feel good.
I wanted to do one.
I haven't had coffee or any alcohol since Sunday night.
Oh yeah,
giving me the same pitch that the meth dealer in the Silver Legacy parking lot did when I was walking into the hotel.
He's
last
like, you're
night,
gonna so. Feel great.
Yeah, you feel great. You get so much done. Like what? Like smoking more meth. Okay.
Are there a lot of homeless people in Reno?
Excuse me.
Well, that was a rough cough. Can we edit that cough out?
Yeah. Can we? Gross.
Yeah, we need a.
All right, Jay needs to get some tea in him.
Yeah. All right, Jay. Here's my recommend. I know you don't drink.
Yes.
But I wonder if a one shot would upset your whole system with the Wellbutrin. And here's why I say that. The best thing that I have found for a cold is the hot toddy. Shot of whiskey, shot of lemon juice, and a shot of honey. 30 seconds in the microwave.
I'm going to tell you this.
Tell me.
If I were anywhere else, I would take your system. I am in Reno, and I know myself. I am depressed when I'm in Reno, when I'm perfectly balanced in all my humors. If I decide to have a hot toddy, there's a good chance you're going to get a telegram from me in Tijuana 3 weeks from now saying, forget the podcast, I'm working the donkey show down here.
Don't do that.
The donkey show. That could be a whole podcast right there.
I think we have a name. Donkey show. Steve Hofstetter.
Plus this guy, Steve. Hey, by the way, I retweet the hate. I embrace the hate. And some of it's getting really hostile. Like, I get your point.
Really?
Oh, over the Vegas thing and
Puerto
Rico. Are
you off
Twitter
too?
No, I love Twitter. No, I'll tell you what happened. So I live through Twitter.
Hold on. Yeah. Pronounce it correctly. Puerto Rico. That's how you pronounce it.
Is that how I'm supposed to say that?
That's how our president pronounces it. So that's how you pronounce it.
Oh, all right. It took you 46 minutes into the podcast to take a shot at Trump. So that's pretty good. 25 CI added. Yes, like quickly I added that
did.
Up. I'm just saying.
Like, damn.
I just added in the Hofstetter interview. That was some fourth grade math. Thank you, Jessica. So where was I going? Oh, I know. So people have been getting a little crazy. So I have blocked my first few people.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? I had to do that. And then today, someone tweeted at me that, you know, I'm an idiot and something that I didn't read. I was talking about Columbus.
Okay.
And I sent an article that I wrote to her, tweeted mm-hmm. at her. I'm like, mm-hmm. just want you to read this and learn something first, and then we'll talk. And she came back. She's like, you know, pretty much you're still an idiot and something. And I said, obviously you didn't read it. And she tweeted back, yes, I did. And I'll never get that 2 minutes back. So I was going to tweet something snarky about reading comprehension. And I went to do it and she blocked me.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wait, you got blocked.
I got blocked. What do you think of that?
That's the you can't fire me, I quit yes. method of blocking.
That's what it was. So I have her name because she only had 17 followers.
Uh-huh.
So I'm adding her, you know, because Alec Baldwin and Bruce Springsteen also have me blocked.
She gets on the list.
She's now on the list. She's on the list. All right, I think we're out of time. I think Jessica's kind of doing the, hey, it's time to wrap. Can we
yeah.
begin?
Yeah.
No problem, guys. And I'm going to try to go back to sleep. It's a little hard with all this meth in my system, but I'll try.
He was in bed.
I knew you were in bed this whole phone call.
I'm pacing, drinking. I ordered coffee from room service, which you can't just.
Are you at least dressed? Are you at least dressed?
He could have walked over to the lobby and gotten his own coffee instead of having it delivered to his room.
Wow. Whose expense account is that on? Is that on it's not on the podcast, right? Are we subsidizing that?
Yeah. It's not. It's my expense account. I'm in Reno. There's no such thing as an expense account here. An expense account is the dirty napkin where they write down what you owe on it.
Oh, Jay.
Thanks for the visual. All right, Jay. Hey, Jay, actually, we're going to end, but then stay on the line for a minute so we can talk the next one.
Yeah, sure.
We're going to spare our listeners the scheduling that's about to take place.
Okay.
Because that could be another 10 minutes.
Yes.
All
good
right.
Job, guys.
I am Bill Spadia. Follow me at Bill Spadia. Follow Jessica at Chasing Jess Nut. And check Jay out. He's all over the place.
Just, emotionally
and physically. All right. Hey, make sure that if you've downloaded this from NJ1015.com, that's great. We appreciate it. But subscribe. And then every time we have a new one come out, it'll drop every Wednesday morning, somewhere between midnight and 6. You will get the latest episode of Speaking Millennial. Make sure you rate us and comment. Good?
Good job, Bill.
See you.